am impressed. Drinkers are very hard to kill. If I had known your iron weapons worked, I would not have revealed myself.
So it could drag us all down for dinner? It lived underground, and so do you. This seems pretty straightforward to me. So what was the deal? It hauls us down and you share in the food?
You walk the surface. Does that make you friends of the Rattler and the Sticky?
Ryan thought about that.
Fair enough.
He eased his stance, but didn't turn his blaster away.
So who are you?
As if in reply, a trilling whistle came from the stranger, and the sand behind him shifted as more of the beings rose into view from below ground. Even as the companions aimed their collection of blasters at the newcomers, dozens more of the rapt people came from the sand, then even more on both sides. Turning about slowly, Ryan and the others saw they were now surrounded by an army of the beings, every one of them armed with a needle-tipped metal spear or sickle-like long knife. The ebony blades were worn from constant use, the handles stained with dried blood. The figures stood at average height, sporting two legs, two arms, and head, but each was so heavily wrapped in strips of loose cloth, it was impossible to tell if they were men or women, even if they were gnorms or muties.
I am Alar, the leader of the Corps.
Even through the thick wrappings, Ryan could hear the capital C being used. The Corps, eh? That could mean anything. But there was something oddly familiar about how the being held the short spears in his bandaged hands, and Ryan grunted softly as he recognized the military postures from the guards at the anthill. These must be the descendants of army soldiers, copying the port arms and such of drilling troops. Only they were armed with spears instead of long blasters. The Corps, as in U.S. Marine Corps? Or a nuclear corps? Could be either one, and there was no way of telling.
I'm Ryan, and this is my son Dean, and my friends Christy, JB, Mildred, Jack, and Doc Tanner.
Alar bowed to each, the rest of the Corps copying the gesture. At the end, the masked people put away their weapons, and the companions hesitantly did the same. Since they were outnumbered by a 50-to-1 ratio, it seemed prudent to stay on smooth terms with these people. Dean walked up with the spear from the drinker and offered it to the Corps leader.
Here you go.
Nodding his head, Alar took the weapon and stabbed it twice into the ground to clean the tip of the sticky pink blood.
Thank you, small one. A weapon returned is a bond of peace with my people. I grant you free passage through our desert until the next moon.
Christy then made a gesture in the air, too quick to be described.
The blessings of Gaia upon you, great leader.
Ignoring Christy for the moment, Ryan steadied his gaze upon Alar.
And what happens if we're still here by the next moon?
Then you must either leave or join the Corps forever.
Nothing more than that?
A warm breeze tasting of salt blew over the crowd, making the horses shift about to hide their faces. Alar spoke calmly, the sand dancing at his feet.
No, Ryan of the Horse Riders. We are a peaceful people with only one enemy. We welcome all to join the Corps.
Or else you prefer to strike from behind, Ryan thought to himself. JB rubbed his mouth on the back of a hand.
Sounds good. How about we go to your villa and talk? Any chance you got water to trade? We have a few spare blasters that are better for acing a drinker than those pig stickers you're carrying.
Vill?
Alar crouched so that he rested on his heels.
We have no stone place. The desert itself is our home. We live in the sand, on the sand. We are of the sand.
Doc, Mildred, and Christy exchanged glances. They didn't know the language, but the tone was familiar. The Corps was chanting like a choir in a church. This Alar was more than their leader. He was probably also the local high priest.
However, we can offer you food and drink.
Alar gestured at the crowd. Scurrying to obey, another being stepped forward to hand Ryan a clear plastic jug. The fluid inside was blue in color, almost a topaz.
Doesn't look like water to me.
There is no water here.
A tall member of the Corps thumped his spear twice on the ground at the word.
We drink Jinkacha.
Drink, my friends. Drink and live forever.
Live forever? What do you mean by that exactly?
Still holding the spear, Alar spread his bandaged hands wide.
We do not die with the passing of the decades like you Norms. The members of the Corps are as ageless as the sands.
Right.
Mildred slowly took the container from Ryan. The physician didn't know whether that was a sales pitch, but either way, she wanted no part of this Jinkacha stuff. While the others waited, she inspected the blue fluid carefully. It was thick with a high viscosity, almost like a British beer. Removing the cap, she took a careful sniff. The smell was very pleasant, slightly citrus in nature. Meanwhile, Dean copied the squatting position of the Corps leader.
How is Jinkacha made?
From the essence of the Holy Ones.
Alar bowed his head at the mention of the last two words.
Once consumed, you can take no other nourishment, not animal flesh or water. But you will live forever.
As long as we keep drinking it, you mean?
Ryan felt his suspicions rise like a red madness. With a major effort of will, though, he forced it under control for the moment. Since Alar was covered in the cloth rags, it was impossible to read his facial expressions, but his body language was that of a parent explaining something very basic to a child.
Of course. To live forever, you must drink forever. It is the way of the Corps.
Pale red ants had discovered the dead muti and were now covering its remains, carrying away tiny pieces of its flesh. Then a scorpion appeared and began to feast upon the ants using both pinchers. In a flash of movement, a Corps member thrust out a spear and impaled the scorpion, lifting it high for the others to see until the mortally wounded creature went limp. Now he lowered the spear and shook off the tiny corpse so that it fell amid the ants. Without hesitation, the bugs swarmed over their dead enemy and began tearing it apart along with the muti.
Made from Drinka? Dat, Holy One?
No, Top Walker. It is made from the essence of the Night Walkers, whose numbers are greater than their legs, greater than the grains of sand.
So the Holy Ones had a lot of legs, eh? Suddenly, Christy recalled where she had seen blood almost the exact same color as this Jinkacha.
Millipedes! It's made from triple-cursed millipede blood!
The crowd of masked people began to mutter at that, and more than one shifted their grip on a weapon. Alar's companion looked as if his head were about to explode.
How dare the filthy topwalkers defile the Holy Ones! They must be punished!
All of a sudden, the world seemed to spin, and Ryan felt nauseous as if he had just emerged from a bad jump. As his vision cleared, he could see the others were also reeling slightly, Dean and Doc having both dropped their blasters under the burning hot salt. Only Christy seemed unaffected, but her hair was writhing like he had never seen before. As Alar shouted that one word, it seemed to resonate in both the mind and the ears of everyone present. Instantly, the queasy feelings were gone, as if they had never existed. And Ryan pulled out his Sig Sauer again, the handle slick with the sweat from his shaking hand. The damn Corps was ruled by doomies of some sort, muties with mental powers. Mildred sometimes argued that they weren't actually muties, but rather the next step in evolution, unlocked by the cataclysm of Skydark.
Silence, Klar! It is not for you to decide.
Klar stared at his leader in disbelief.
It is the law! All drink or they must die!
Doc and Dean bent to recover their weapons, but the rest of the Corps seemed to be paying no attention to the Outlanders. The group was splitting apart into two groups of about the same size.
Correction! The law says they must drink or leave.
Alar pressed the shaft of his spear. With a metallic sound, razor-sharp blades snapped out along the entire length. The mirror-bright steel reflected the harsh sunlight like tortured rainbows.
And I have given my personal word that they have until the next moon.
Klar's own staff blossomed with similar razors.
Useless! Pointless! They drink or die!
That is not what the law says!
Then the law is wrong!
You challenge the law?
The crowd of beings behind the leader began muttering angrily as more shafts snapped out blades. Moving as carefully as if in a minefield, the companions were edging closer to their horses. What was happening here at every mark of a civil war? And those staffs could tear a norm apart with their razor teeth. On top of which, a fight between doomies was something no one wanted to be near.
I challenge you!
Clar threw his staff into the ground. A dry breeze blew over the rocks as Alar stared at the younger being. Then, with slow, calculated care, the leader raised his staff high and also plunged it deep into the ground.
Accepted!
Now the rest of the corps moved away from the combatants, and the horses started nickering in fear. Without comment, the companions retreated from the two beings, only seconds before the whole world seemed to whirl once more, and the companions fell helpless to the ground, their minds exploding with visions of violent death and chaotic madness.